This morning, our Faith on Film is about Star Trek Beyond. Now, in this film, it takes place 3 years into the five-year journey that they started in the last film. And they get an alien artifact that a villain wants in order to create a bioweapon. And so they have to protect this alien artifact from the villain, and he ends up getting it and capturing the crew, and mayhem ensues, as you can imagine. And so today I want to focus a little bit on the adventure side of Star Trek. Now, how many of you guys can remember the introduction that is at the beginning of every Star Trek episode? You think? The Final Frontier. All right, you're close. Hit the thing. We'll see how close you are.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
All right, so we were close. We were close on that. Now, what if I said that our new mission statement for church was Haze, our current frontier? These are the voyages of Haze Christian Church, its continuing mission to love, grow, and serve, boldly proclaiming the gospel in Haze, Kansas, and beyond. Cue the cool music and the flying spaceship. How would you respond to that? Awesome. Yeah, pretty cool, huh? Well, our vision as a church is to love, grow, serve. And it's also our process statement. And it's seen in many aspects of the church life. And it's ultimately the goal for our church and also for us as individual Christ followers to bring people into a relationship with God. We want people to come to know Jesus and to know his saving grace and to fall in love with him and to serve him. That's what we are called to do as followers of Christ and as a church. Jesus said that he came to earth so that we might have life. And so as followers of Jesus, we need to search and seek to bring life to other people. That's the proclaiming the gospel part of our new Star Trek mission statement. So what is the gospel message? It's summed up in John 3:16, and I want you to read it with me. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to have eternal life. And so this is an illustration that we have used at camp and at different places that shows you the gospel message in pictures. So things started out, we had us and God in the beginning, and things were rosy, things were good. Then sin entered the world. When Adam and Eve chose to go against God, this sin separated humankind from God. There we are, separated from God on that other side of that chasm with sin in the middle. Now we can't get to God on our own. Everything we try to do will fail. No matter what we try to do, it will continually fail. Nothing that humankind can do on their own will get us to God. Romans tells us that the wages of sin and the results of us trying to get to God on our own is death, an eternal death. And so that's what you have to look forward to, and that's what humankind's destiny was before Jesus came into the picture. Jesus came, and he provides that bridge across the chasm. And so, without God intervening, we would have been facing death. But because Jesus came to earth and died on the cross for our sins, he defeated death. When we choose to follow Christ, when we choose to make him Lord of our lives, when we choose to confess, repent, and be baptized, then we go across the chasm, and we are reunited with God where he wants all of his children to be, with God forever, for all eternity. And then, as you can see, we are happy. Our responsibility, once we have crossed this divide through the power of Jesus, is to then tell people about Jesus, to tell people what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And how do we do this? We do this through the process of loving, growing, and serving. And the first thing we need to do in order to share the gospel is to love. Now think about, we're going to do a word association, and I just want you to call out the first thing that comes to your mind. Love. One person had an original thought. Sleep? Warm? The first thing that came to mind for me was a heart and the color red. I don't know. Maybe Valentine's Day has gotten into me. But then I saw this Valentine's Day picture that puts John 3:16 in the word Valentine. And you can see, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And the word Valentine is right there in the verse. Of course, love is not only the romantic love, the eros love is the Greek word for it, but it's also the agape love, the self-sacrificing love, and the phileo love, the familial, and the brotherly love. But we learned during the closing program of VBS that there were two important commands that God gave. The two most important commands were to what? Remember? Right? Love God and love people, love each other, love your neighbor. So I want to think about that. If our two commands are to love God and love our neighbor, who is your neighbor? And I want you to think, Jet, Meadow, you are doing exactly what I wanted us to do. I want us to think about our literal neighbor. Who is that? Call out their name. Okay. Now, how can you love your literal neighbor? Because oftentimes we hear this, oh, love your neighbor. And what do we get told? Everyone is your neighbor. And then it becomes something that we don't think about much because it's not personal to us. Everybody. We're supposed to love everybody, which is true. But if you stop and think about, I am supposed to love my neighbor. The person who lives next door to me or down the road from me, I'm supposed to love him or her or their family. So the question then becomes, do you know your neighbor, for one? Do you know more than just their basic info? Have you invited them to dinner? Have you listened to their story? Have you shown interest in their lives? And as I'm asking these questions, it's convicting for me as well, because I haven't done all these things with my neighbors. But that doesn't give me an excuse to say, oh, well, I'm loving my neighbor. What about my real neighbor right next door? The first step of truly loving someone is to get to know them. Because how can you truly love someone if you don't know them? Yes, you can show acts of love to people, for sure. But to really, truly love someone, you have to know them. Beyond our literal neighbors next door to us, we have our neighbors in the city of Hayes. We need to love them too. But the love is different for the city because we don't know them necessarily individually. We know people here and there, and we are to love them and show loving acts of kindness to them. We love them because God loved us first, and God loves them. And so we must respond to God's love by loving those around us. And so how do we do that? How do we show love to the city of Hayes where we're situated right now as a church? We first have to get to know them. We need to know, what are people like who live in Hayes? We may think we have a good idea. Everybody's just like me, right? That's what we think. We think we just assume everybody's just like us. But we need to take time and think about who really is living in Hayes. What are their commonalities? What things do they believe as a whole? Then we need to think, are we reaching them? Are there people that we're not reaching in Hayes? Are there people that are being ignored by all the churches in Hayes? Is there a group of people not being reached by the churches in Hayes? We need to think about that and really think, maybe there's something we can do there. Maybe we can reach those people with the message of the gospel of Jesus. So we love our literal neighbors by getting to know them. We love them on a personal level. And we love Hay's neighbors by getting to know who they are, by meeting their needs through ministry designed to help them. We also must consider our neighbor on a global scale to love them as well. And this is the big neighbor that we sometimes think about right away. This is what we do through our missions giving, through our outreach giving. In 2015, 24% of our budget for the church went to the 7 missions that we support on a regular basis. That was over $17,000 that went to those 7 missions that are working locally and across the globe. We have those serving in Hays, the Ellis County Ministerial Alliance, the Community Assistance Center. We have the one serving the youth of the area, Lakeview Christian Camp. We have one in the United States that's serving students. They're sending them across the globe in Emmanuel Christian Seminary. We have internationally Shragi Christian Mission and Good News Productions International. We have the school in Puerto Rico. We have the orphanage in Kitale, Kenya. In those ways, we are supporting our neighbor and ministering to our neighbor on a more global scale. We also do the shoeboxes every year, which is, again, supporting our neighbors and teaching them about God. Because in every shoebox, there's a message of the gospel in there, so they know why they're getting the shoebox. Not just because we want to give them something, but because we want to give them what's most important. And that's the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd like us to see further how we can love our neighbor by maybe doing a missions trip to one of our supported missions or to another mission somewhere across the globe, so that we're not just putting our money into something, but we're putting our blood, sweat, and tears into reaching the neighbors that are global. So part of our vision is to love. The second part of our vision, love grow, is to grow. Paul tells Timothy that to continue in the spiritual life, you have to teach other people more and more what it means to follow Jesus. He likens the spiritual growth to that of a baby. When you're a baby, you can only have your mother's milk or formula. But as you mature, you have to eat solid food because you can't sustain a life on just formula or milk. You have to have the solid food built in there. And so just as a baby needs solid food to grow and mature, as followers of Christ, we need to grow and mature by studying and growing in our faith and learning more and more. We need to come to Christ with an open mind and an open heart so that we can learn more about Him. And we do that by time spent in God's Word, by time in prayer, by time going to Sunday school and church and learning more and more about God. In other words, we're growing in our faith. We're growing in our relationship with God, and we're growing in our relationship with other people. The reason that we should want to grow is because we love God. God loved us, therefore we love Him. And how do we show Him that we love Him? We obey His commands. We do what the Bible tells us to do. As we're growing, we are also loving. And as we are loving, we are also growing. And while we're doing those two things, we're also able to be serving. It's something that we do all three continuously. It's a process statement so that people can see the basic growth and the way we move through our system. But it's also something that we do continually. Now, some people think that you can't serve until you've grown and you've learned X, Y, and Z. You can't tell someone the gospel until you've learned all of these specific facts and all of these different reasons why they might say they don't believe. And so you have to have these arguments ready in order to tell someone about Jesus. But in reality, there's no reason why you can't tell someone about Christ if you're a follower of Christ. If you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, if you've been baptized, you have a testimony. You have a story that you can tell. You can tell someone why you decided to get baptized or why you decided to follow Jesus. We should be able to answer that question. As a follower of Christ, we should know why we are a follower of Christ. Now, people are going to have questions, yes. But no one knows the answer to all of those questions. I have a bachelor's degree in Bible and a 3-year seminary degree. I don't know all the answers to the questions that some of you pose to me. Okay? No one ever is going to know all the answers. 1 Corinthians says, "But while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. Anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much." Our responsibility is to love, to grow, and to serve. And you don't have to have all the answers in order to tell someone about Christ, in order to serve. Your testimony, your story about why you chose to follow Christ is what matters. And often that's going to carry a lot more weight than any theological argument that you can come up with. 1 Peter 3 says, "Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it, but do this in a gentle and respectful way." If someone asks you, "Why do you go to church? Why do you follow Christ? Why do you read the Bible? Why do you pray?" We are supposed to have an answer for that. And if you don't have an answer ready for that, I encourage you to really pray about that and come up with an answer this week, so that if someone asks you, "Why do you have hope? Why do you go to church?" you have an answer. Yes, they're going to have questions that you don't know the answer to, but you know what? It's okay to say, "I don't know." But you know what? You follow that up with, "But we can look it up. We can go ask someone for help. We can Google it. We can do something. We can go to our concordance in the Bible. We can go to a theological book." Okay? We can find out the answers to the questions. We can continue the discussion. Now, in our Star Trek mission statement, we're committing to loving, we're committing to growing, we're committing to serving. And what's the end of that? So that we can boldly share the gospel. Boldly is a very interesting word, I think. We need to be unashamedly telling people about Jesus. That doesn't mean that we're on a street corner with a bullhorn. But it does mean that when we speak, Jesus is not left out of the conversation. It means that we are unashamed of the one who has paid the ultimate price for our sins. I'm convinced that if we could ever truly grasp what Jesus did for us on the cross, we would never be ashamed of him. We would never have a problem sharing our faith with people or talking about how much Jesus means to us. But we're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of being labeled a religious nut job. We're afraid that people will think that we're a fool. Ecclesiastes, though, says, "Better to be criticized by a wise person than to be praised by a fool." We need to be willing to love, be willing to grow, be willing to serve, and we need to be willing to do it boldly. No matter what that means for us to do those things, we must be willing to do it full on 100%. Think about it this way. Are you willing to say to God, "God, I know you sacrificed your son for me. I know that he died on the cross for my sins, and I'm thankful for that. But I'm just not comfortable telling other people about it. It's hard to tell people about you, and I just am afraid they're going to think I'm weird. So I'm just not going to tell anyone." Can you imagine saying that to God? "Your sacrifice is not enough for me to be uncomfortable." But when we don't tell people about Christ, when we don't use those opportunities that God's given us, that's what we're saying. That God, your sacrifice is not enough for me to step out of my comfort zone and do what you've called me to do. I want you to commit to boldly sharing your faith with other people, to boldly loving, to boldly growing, and to boldly sharing your faith. when we truly love, when we truly grow, when we truly serve, then we are boldly proclaiming the message of the gospel until Jesus comes again. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you that you have loved us so that we can love you. And I pray that as we consider what you have done for us, that we wouldn't take it for granted, that we wouldn't just gloss over it as something we've heard a million times, but that it would truly pierce our hearts and cause us to act like your followers by sharing and telling others about who you are and what you have done. In Jesus' name we pray.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.